The tip of the month this month is making waves. I thought this would be a really good opportunity to talk to you about how to create sound. Many of you have not launched into the home studio sector yet, so if you haven't, this tip is for you. If you've just launched and it's a little new for you, then this tip is for you too. Those of you that are already recording, well, this might not do as good for you. However, you never know what new information might come across. So let's talk about using the right programs and creating sound. Now, we all know there's a big equipment list that needs to be had, and many of you are not sure at all what to choose. Equipment's a little more difficult because it just depends on your needs. Are you Mac or are you PC? That's the first thing to take into consideration. How big of a system do you want? Do you want something little and portable? Or do you want something that stays put all the time? How many things are you going to plug into your system? Basically, I want to explain to you that your system, your mixer, it works like a router. It used to be in yesteryears where we needed the mixer to create the sound, and that's where you adjusted your levels from and your equalization and all these other things. But now it's all done on the software. So the mixer really becomes a router. There's many different types of mixers. There is MBox 2, or I think there's even the MBox 3 now coming out. The MBox 2 Pro is one of the ones I recommend the most. This is great if you're Mac. So if you're Mac, you want to go with the MBox 2. It comes with the program Pro Tools. Pro Tools is the most complex program to learn, but it really is the best program. I used to fight it because I hated it at first, because I learned on the other programs, which were a lot simpler. And then when I got into Pro Tools, it just seemed like it was just too complex for me. However, now that I've adjusted to it and made it work for me, it is the best program. We're not finding as much success with Pro Tools on the PC. It is created for PC, and maybe the MBox 3 has changed things, but right now we're still hearing some complaints about that. So if you're Mac, I would probably more encourage you going the MBox route, and if you're PC, I would have you go a different route. So let's talk about what those options might be. Now, I'm not going to name them all because there are tons, but you can go with mixers and I would go with USB mixers at this point. No longer do we need the analog mixers, which plug into your computer via your sound card. It's a lot of weight on your sound card, so we kind of want to go with the USB signals now. It just makes it a lot easier, less cables and what have you. Now, there's many different options for actual mixers. One of the smallest, most compact would be the M-Audio. M-Audio works very well. It'd be just a two-channel mixer, and it includes phantom power. What the heck is that? Phantom power is what makes your microphone work. And so with these condenser mics, which are the mics you want to use, you need to have phantom power. You need something that offers it its own power because the microphones themselves don't. Now, this would be a really small, portable-type mixer. Another really great super small portable mixer would be the MicPort Pro. The MicPort is fabulous. One of my students, John Spackman, has one, and he lent it to me. And it literally is just a tube that fits into an XLR plug. Your microphone comes with what's called an XLR plug, and that plug just doesn't plug into your computer. So you need something, again, to route it into your computer. The MicPort Pro is an XLR plug going into USB. So all you have to do literally is plug in your microphone, plug in the MicPort, and you're recording instantly. It's also got a headphone section on it so you can plug headphones into it, and it's got level controls. Now this is a very limited little piece, but it's great for travel if you need something quick, easy, and on the road. So if you want to know a little more information about the equipment portion, I'll just give you a little cheat sheet list right now. But if you go onto my site at micandme.com, and that's micandme.com, and then if you just go into the resource section, if you go into that section, you can look at all the equipment lists, and it gives you a generic list there. Also, James Allberger and Penny Abshire's site at voiceacting.com, they also have a really great product section and equipment list section that you can go through. Three books I'm going to recommend to you right away would be my Voice Biz Handbook, which will help you through everything from the business side of it, marketing and unions and demos, but the equipment list, the microphones, what they all mean, how to put them all together, what equipment do I need, you know, rates, everything. That's a really great complement to James Allberger's ebook, which is Setting Up Your Home Studio. So the title of that is online. So if you go to James Allberger's site at voiceacting.com, you can and look for his ebook on setting up your own home studio. And that gives you a lot also about the technical side of things, which is the acoustics of the room and things like that. It's very important that you have an acoustically correct setting. It's not as much about soundproofing, because it's really hard to soundproof a home unless you're spending a lot of money to do so. So it's about getting an acoustically correct sound, and James talks about that in his ebook, which will help you a great deal. The clap test, for example, where you clap in your studio and you shouldn't be able to hear an echo. You want the walls to absorb the sound. So that's why you're looking for either the acoustic foam that you've probably seen that looks like the egg cartons. It's expensive and extremely worth it. It's not really expensive, but a lot of people find that expensive compared to some of the other options. Some of the cheaper options, but don't look as nice, would be the acoustic ceiling tiles, which are great at, you know, your local Lowe's or Home Depot. Then, of course, there's the moving blankets, which you can get at U-Haul and companies like that, where it's acoustic blankets that will also absorb the sound. So you're looking for that type of equipment. Another great compliment, though, to those two books is also Harlan Hogan and Jeffrey Fisher. They've put together the Voice Actor's Guide to Home Recording, and it's a hardcover book, as well as mine is a hardcover book. And that's something you definitely want to order and have as your Bible to get through a lot of stuff, including recording. He talks about recording the sound. There's different sound levels. You're going to record all three different things. So let's talk about that briefly, and then I'll go back to the equipment list again. You're going to record in either AIFF or AIF, which is a Mac-based format, WAV, so these are dot extensions, .WAV, which is WAV, we call that WAV, and also .MP3. Most of you are familiar with at least MP3, and it is exactly as you know it, but what that basically entails, it's a condensed version of a higher quality file. The higher qualities are WAV and AIF. So those are the three formats, standard three formats that you're going to be recording in or need to have knowledge of. Each of the software programs you choose will have functionality to record in those formats. The newer software programs contain almost all the formats, but some of them are a little more limited, so keep that in mind. You want to be able to at least record those three. So let's talk about the software that you need on your system. We've referred to Pro Tools, and I'd like to tell you about Audacity. Audacity is something that most voice talent seem to know about at this point, but some of you may not. So Audacity is a free program. It's a free editing software program that you can download if you just go to Google and look up Audacity SoundForge. I think the address is audacitysourceforge.net or just sourceforge.net. And you can find the free Audacity player or system or program. You want to download that to your computer and start learning basic editing. This is a great program to just start learning basic editing. The skills that you learn from this one, you can take into the other programs that are a little more complex. One of the other programs, like I said, was Pro Tools. That's the best program I find. However, most complex to learn, but once you have the basic understanding of editing, then it's just a matter of finding where all the buttons are. But with Pro Tools, it's where all the bonuses are. Pro Tools is heaven for engineers, really, once you learn the program. It's a big learning curve, but once you get there, it's just a wonderful program. If you're Mac, I would stay with Pro Tools. If you're PC, you should go with Adobe Audition. Adobe Audition is another one you'd have to buy separately. Pro Tools usually comes with MBox or any DigiDesign product that you purchase. Pro Tools will automatically come with that. So that's one nice bonus of going that route. But again, it's really more fit for the Mac environment, not as much the PC environment. We're finding some complaints, so I'm just kind of keeping that in mind. Times will change things, but right now as it stands, that's where we're at. With the Adobe Audition, if you are buying a mixer for your PC, for example, a Behringer mixer or a Mackie board or anything like that, you want to buy a USB hardware. That will come with a program, but not everyone uses the programs that come with it. So we do recommend purchasing Adobe Audition, which runs about $300 and up. So it can get a little pricey, but definitely worth it. It's a great business investment and a write-off in the end. So you are now a working studio. That's where you want to be. One thing you need to keep in mind with the software that you purchase is you have a hardware and software compatibility issue. With PC, there's tons of different different components that you can add to a PC, all made by different manufacturers. With Mac, it's a little more focused on just Mac products, so they're a little more user-friendly or marry each other a little better. You have to tell the computer what to read. So let's explain this to you in the most layman's terms I can possibly think of it in to be able to express to you how your computer works and how it reads your mixer and why. Your computer works in an in and out capacity. So sound comes in and sound goes out. So those are your in and your outs. If you look at the back of your sound card, there'd be the microphone. The sound card has a little picture of the microphone and then one that has the headphones. Some of you, it might be not be headphones, it might be a little speaker. Well, that's your in and your out. Headphones would be out because that's a sound coming out from the computer. And microphone would be in because that's a sound going into the computer. Your computer has that sound card. There's also a software sound card inside and a hardware sound card. In PC, it's called in accessories and then sound. In the Mac, it's under system preferences and then sound. You have to tell your sound card, your software sound card, to read your mixer. Now, it's a lot more complex than that, but I'm just going to give you that as your heads up so you understand that. It might be a little too advanced for some of you, but it gives you the layman's, hopefully the layman's terms of understanding how your computer works and how you have to tell your computer to read the microphone. It doesn't just grab it automatically. You have to tell it where to go. So you might need an expert or an engineer or someone like myself to come in and be able to help you out through that, either on the phone or via Skype or in person. There's much more to it than what I just said, but that just gives you the basic understanding of how sound comes into the computer and comes out of the computer and how you have to get it to tell it to read the sound coming in and the sound going out. Once you have a good understanding of that, then you'll be able to start recording. One thing I've missed out, which I've talked about in other podcasts and in newsletters, is your equipment list, the other pieces of equipment. So you need your mixer, as I said, and obviously you need a computer and you need the software program. But you also need a really good microphone, as I've talked about. You need a microphone stand. You need a script stand. And the one I recommend the most is the Manhasset because it slides up and down and goes quite tall. Whereas the ones that have the screws or the knobs on them, they don't go up as tall, so they're not as functionable or as versatile for people that are taller. You may have other people voicing in your studio, so just because you're shorter doesn't mean you may not need that function later on. You also need some really good studio headphones. Then you also need good studio monitor speakers, so some really good speakers to be able to hear how good your microphone sound is. You might have spent all this money, or a little bit of money, on a microphone, but you want to be able to hear the high-quality sound that comes out of it, and you're only going to hear that with some really good headphones and some really good monitor speakers. You can work with just headphones for a while, but you'll find your head will start getting sore if you're working long enough. You'll be wearing the headphones too much. Then, of course, you need all the cables to hook it all together. You need the XLR cables, you need the USB cable that goes to your mixer, you may need some in and out wiring to tell your mixer to read to the computer and to tell it to come out from the There's so much more that could come into place, but no point in giving you that big list until you know what your situation is with your particular computer. It will change depending on what computer you have, what mixer you've purchased, and the variety of equipment that you're using. So there's headphone cables, extension cables, your microphone cable, make it at least 25 feet to 50 feet. 50 feet is ideal. Then you have lots of room because you should have your microphone far away from your computer system. So now you have it all hooked up, and now it's time to record and edit. Yay, we finally got to that point. Well, hopefully you did. Hey, I learned it all on my own. Many of us did, so I'm sure you can too, with the help of a lot of us. There's many different ways to record, and people have different styles of editing. I myself do it this way. I record everything onto one long master track. If you're familiar with programs such as Adobe Photoshop, one thing that they do is they have a picture of the background, and then maybe a picture of an animal, and then a picture of a house. Those are all layers, individual layers. And they put all those layers together, and they rasterize them, and it becomes one file. And that's how you get all these beautiful pictures with all these different dimensions and feelings. They layer them all together. Well, I don't know how a picture has feelings, but okay, we'll go with that one for now. So that's kind of the same principle as sound. You take maybe the master voice track, and then you mix that with the sound effect, and then maybe some music in the background, and maybe some different stuff here and there, and another voice, and then you layer it all together to be one master sound. When you're recording that sound, so I'm recording my voice, in your case, that's what we'll focus on the most, I will go in and I will just walk away from my computer. It's in a different room so that I get no feedback and I don't hear any sounds and I have no computer issues, that kind of thing. And then I will just press record and I will just keep going throughout the whole file until I'm done all my recordings for the day. Then I'll go into that master track, which I save as its own file, and then I edit out the individual projects for the day, or the individual one project, and I take out all, my mistakes, my burps, my bad sounds that can come out in the middle of a day. Oh, maybe the kids laughing and cheering and running down the hallway and the water running and, oh, I could just go on forever. There's always an issue. In fact, I hear noise right now as I record. Welcome to home studios. But, you know, you just want to edit the way you feel comfortable. So I will keep my master files, and that way, even with the mistakes, I've got everything that I needed to begin with, and I'll create new files out of that. If you're really smart, you'll make your booth set up so that you've got a monitor, a mouse, and a keyboard that's joined to your main master computer, and then you can edit as you go, so you can save a lot of time for yourself. Again, if I have my master, I don't risk the chance of losing anything, but you know, you get better after a while, and at first it takes a long time to edit. It will get better, I promise. You're going to have lots of trial and error, guys. There's going to be times when you're recording and it doesn't record. Geez, that happened to me this month in this podcast. Strange enough. There's lots of different things that can happen, so just keep a stiff upper lip and keep at it, because editing is our nightmare, but we love what we do, so we have to have something about it that we don't like, and that's just one of the ones we do. Some people love this stuff, so that's good too. I've become a technical geek, I've learned. Maybe you will too. So I do have a class called The Voice Mix, and it's a way to get you hooked up online via Skype, using camera and myself and audio, and or just by phone, but preferably with the voice mix. We like to see what's going on so we can see your screen. Okay, that's enough. I've taken up enough of your time this month. For those of you that are new to us, thank you so much for tuning in. This is the Mike and Me podcast for Tip of the Month for our Shanty News. You can tune into our Shanty News on our website at www.mikeandme.com. That's MICNME.com. If you'd like to get a hold of me for anything, have any questions, please feel free to email me at deb@mikeandme.com. Love to hear from you guys, and until next time. Take care, everyone. I'm Deb Monroe. Have a great month, and we'll talk to you next time.